Good morning, everyone. It's time to start the worship service. I'm going to ask you to stand if it's convenient for you as we sing Days of Elijah.
Now these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he come riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, not a Zion till salvation comes.
Yep.
And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. These are the days of your servant David, preparing the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, and at a Zion till salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, 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 there's no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes. Well, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation comes.
All righty, be seated, please. All right. I'm Roger today. Nice to meet you. April 27th, Awana Club and Youth Meeting at 6 p.m. Dinner served at 5. April 29th, reminder, Women's Ministry Conference at First Baptist Church in Harrison from 6:30 to 8:45, featuring Andrea Lennon. There will be a memorial service April 30th for Chuck at 2 p.m. at First Baptist in Farmington. And most of y'all got a bulletin, so you can see the rest. May 1st, Senior Recognition Sunday. So y'all want to be here for that. Anyway, it's baby shower, also on May 1st. And May 11th, last night of Awana Club. Award ceremony, May 18th. And I think we have another announcement. You want to come on up?
Good morning. I have not stood up in front of this church since I was like 10 years old. So, I am Lauren Robinette, if you don't know me, and I have taken Children's Church off Jeannie and Becky's plate, and we are in need of Children's Church workers. So it should be every month and a half that you would have to help in Children's Church, so it wouldn't be that often. So if you're interested, please find me after church or later. This wouldn't need to go into effect. You wouldn't need to start until June. So thank you.
All right. Any other announcements? Any other announcements? Yep, sure. Children's Ministry is a very important ministry, so if you feel so led, I'm sure they could help use your help. Let's all stand as we pray, and we'll continue our worship service. God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day and for your blessings. God, as we just come today and to be prepared on what Pastor Lanny has to say to us, God, I just pray that through him that your word would be given, and God, just give him the encouragement and the will to say what he has been led to say today from you. And I pray for the music. God, I just pray that it would be a blessing as well. God, I just pray for everyone here and their families. And God, I just pray for the ones that have lost loved ones recently. God, just continue to be with them and keep them in your care. And it's in your Son's holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. One, two, three. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer long. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished. Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day, ye who are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength uphold. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, a crown of life shall be.
The Oh, praise the one who paid my debt.
raises life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raises life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt.
Amen. How he loves us. He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. Oh, and all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions and clips by glory, and realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. And we are his portion, we are his prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Oh, and heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loved us. Oh, how he loved us. Oh, how he loved us.
seated, please. I'm going to ask the ushers, if you would, make your way to the front. We will have our offertory.
Visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. If you'd take that and fill it out for us, if you're here for the first time, and give us an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. One of our men will come lead us in prayer.
Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings of life. I want to ask that you put your hand upon this offering, Lord. I pray that it go further than we can ever imagine because your hand is upon it. God, I ask that you bless the gift and the giver. Pray that you go with us through this service. I ask all this in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen.
If you're involved with Children's Church, we're going to give you an opportunity to take charge of that group now. Also, third grade through the sixth grade, we're going to allow you to meet with your group. Certainly it's good to have you in the Lord's house with us today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the second chapter. Mark's Gospel, the second chapter. We've just completed the resurrection, and so now we are following that time after the resurrection, and tonight I'll be preaching on the road to Emmaus, so we'll be following up some on that tonight. This is just one of my favorite passages of Scripture in Mark, the second chapter. So let's stand together, if you would, and join me, and let me read it out loud, and you follow along in your translation. Mark 2, and beginning with verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum. Now that will be important that you remember that place, because Jesus talked a lot about Capernaum. Matter of fact, it was kind of his home base. But he also said that he couldn't do many mighty works there because of the people's unbelief. And so that weighs into this story also, that there were people that lived in that region that didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So he entered into Capernaum, and after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, we need to take note of that, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thine own house. And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Our Father, we come before your throne. We give this time into your hands. We pray that your Spirit would speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Number one, when he, Jesus, is in the house, others hear and come. Verse 1, verse 2. We do not meet here in this church setting, in this gathering. The word church literally means gathering. I'll build my gathering. It could be used as a political term if you're having a political meeting and a gathering as a political group. It could be called in the original, they would say use the word church. No, it is it's Jesus gathering. Upon this rock, I'll build my what church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Not only am I hard hearing, I don't have either hearing aid in today, and I sound to myself like I'm in some kind of big echo chamber. I can barely hear myself talk, so I might get to talking real loud. But anyway, I hope you keep your hearing. We're not here to gather a crowd. We're not here to entertain, but to inspire. We want folks to come. But a clown can draw a crowd. Verse 1 tells us he was in Capernaum. So there's a great danger in being where Jesus is and hearing his word and seeing his mighty work and yet not being changed. How can that be? I was watching David Jeremiah preach in Florida on TV. But I could tell that there was something in the atmosphere that I wasn't getting. I mean, I was watching folks as the camera would stir this humongous crowd. It was really encouraging thing. We're not the only Christians. I mean, there's Christians all over the world that's waiting for Jesus to come again. Well, they were into everything that was going on. They were raising their hands in praise. They were glorifying the Lord. And there was just an atmosphere in the place that I thought, I'm not feeling that. Because I wasn't there. That's the reason the Lord said to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some are, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There is this element of being there. But can you imagine being where Jesus is, being where the Word is being preached, where the Word of God is going out and men and women and children's lives are being changed, and yet we're sitting through that and we're not being changed? Can you imagine revival, great revival coming to Osage Baptist Church, and many lives being changed, our own hearts being changed, moved by the power of the Spirit, and us sitting by and not knowing what is going on, not knowing that God is moving in our midst? That was what was happening when they took the roof off and let this man down. There was a group there that was getting nothing out of the service. They had come to criticize what was going on. Rip Van Winkle drunk the wrong stuff and slept through a revolution. When he woke up, everything had changed. Can you imagine sleeping through a revival at our church? God moving, the Spirit moving, and God being here and lives being changed, and yet we are here to criticize what is going on? I can't imagine it, can you? I'm not going to. And I hope you're not either. Back in the 70s, I was really interested in churches having revivals. I did a lot of preaching at different churches. I don't know if we had revival or not. In some of them, I think we did. But I read things about revival. And there was one book that really caught my attention by O.S. Hawkins that said, When Revival Comes. And this was probably in the mid-70s, and I read that, and I was so excited about, man, I just wanted that for our church. I wanted it to come to me. I wanted it to come to our church. I wanted that to happen in the time in which I lived, in the church which I pastored. He talked about people being able to drive on the parking lot and feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. people just walking into the service and being convicted of their sin, and the Holy Spirit being so strong and so thick that you could cut it with a knife. The Spirit of God was just there. And He explained it so vividly that you could just imagine yourself being in that situation and wanted to be in that situation. As years passed, O.S. Hawkins went on to work for the Southern Baptist Convention. And I kept that book in my library, and I referred to it now and then. And a few years ago, my interest just was plucked again about revival. And I began to look through that book and reread some of the things that had taken place in the church in Florida that he pastored. And I decided that I would call that church and see if it was still going on. This was probably 20 years after it had happened. And I called, and believe it or not, the lady that answered the phone was O.S. Hawkins' secretary. Now, he had moved on. They had another pastor, but she was still secretary. And I began to tell her about the book. She remembered the book. And I said, is it still going on? And she didn't answer. She said, let me give you a telephone number of one of the deacons that was serving in the church at the time of O.S. Hawkins pastored here. So she gave me the telephone number, and I called, and I identified myself. I told him who I was, and I pastored a church in northwest Arkansas, and I read O.S. Hawkins' book, and I said, I just have some questions about the revival that was taking place when he was pastor there. He said, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I don't know anything about what you're talking about. Can you believe it? Well, I know it's possible, because there were people in the presence of Jesus when they took the roof off and let the man down through the roof, that the Son of God was there speaking. He was feeding them the Word of God. He was healing those that had been crippled all of their lives. Lives were dramatically being changed, and yet there was a group of people there that had nothing else to do but criticize what was going on. Let's look at it. Verse 2 says that Jesus was in the house. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst of them. So that's a promise. But not all that were there had the right motive. Some came out of curiosity. Some came out of genuine concern. In our day, we have a tendency to brag more on who was there to hear rather than what was preached. I'll tell you, I think I put too much emphasis on who's here. I really do. I don't know how to get out of that or how to stop doing that. But I think I put too much emphasis on who is here rather than what's being preached. Pray for me. But in Luke 5 and verse 17, Luke said that they came from every city. Graham Scroggie, in his explanation of this, there never was a congregation where there was not a critic. And too often, listen to me, too often criticism comes from those who might be expected to rejoice. You get it? That God has done all this stuff in our life? All these things that God is responsible for, that is good, that has happened to us. God's gifts are good. He's good. And He's not sometimes good, He's always good. And it doesn't matter if sickness comes, He's still good. It doesn't matter if death comes, He's still good. It doesn't matter if tragedy happens. And I'm not saying He's responsible for it. Glenn, I've been talking about this. He's not. It's because of the fall. But I'm telling you, folks, that it doesn't matter what takes place in our life. God is still good, and we can still trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. The miracle is not in the crowd, but in the healing. Man, we've got to change our focus. And I'm not saying that we should just not care anything about who's here. I think that we should. But I think that we sure should put our focus on what Jesus is saying. Verse 2, and He preached the word unto them. Would you look with me over in the book of Romans, the first chapter, and look down at verse 16. This is Paul's explanation of the Word of God as he is writing his letter to the church at Rome. And he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Now look real closely at that verse. There's a little word here that perhaps we would miss the meaning of if we weren't cautious, and I'll bet you've already got it picked out. It's the word power. Power. In the New Testament, it's the word dunamis. It means supernatural power. It's We get our word, guess what? Dynamite. We get our word dynamite. Some kind of power that we weren't used to. It is a supernatural power. For it is the supernatural power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Can you imagine standing at the grave of Jesus on resurrection morning, and the power that God uses to raise Jesus from the dead? Now, I've said a few times I'd like to have been there. I'm not sure I would have liked to have been there. But it was some kind of display of power, was it not? And the Bible says we're saved by that power. And we live the Christian life by that power. It's supernatural power. You and I don't have it in us. It's God's power in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're living in a society of people who want to have their ears tickled. We've got to be cautious about that. About us becoming to a place where we want to have our ears tickled. The Bible says it's a sign of the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying, there's our little word, denying the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away. We need to be people friendly, but at the same time, we can't have a feel-good church. We're just not going to do it. And if we have to preach some kind of soaked-down, watered-down gospel in order to get people to come, people just won't come. We're not going to do it. This church is not going to do it. Our Sunday school teachers are not going to do it. Our leaders are not going to do it. It's not going to be soaked down. It's going to be the real stuff. Paul told Timothy to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Be patient about it, but use it. Verse 5, Jesus saw their faith. There's a desperate need in our life for men to see our faith. We're living in a time that folks are saying there's nothing to that. You live any way you want to, act any way you want to, it doesn't make any difference. Well, it does make a difference. When Jesus changes your life, it's changed. And men and women and boys and girls that are around you know. They know the way that you react to every situation. You know. And I don't usually react in the right kind of way. But it's important that we do. Attitude. Our attitude makes all the difference in the world. What is it that we, you and I, we think that, well, we can't do it. I can't do it. Lyle used to tell the story about a little old boy that was trying to have a Christmas play and they were trying to get him involved in it. And he wasn't wanting to do it. And they finally got him up on the stage and he announced to everyone there, I'm telling you right now, if it's hard, I'm not going to do it. And I think that's the attitude that a lot of Christians, if it's hard, I'm not going to do it. Hard to get here on Sunday night, isn't it? Hard to get here on Wednesday night. It'd be a lot easier to sit in a recliner. Become a mechanic. Put a rear end in the recliner every night. It's important that men see our faith. We can only get them to Jesus. Now, I can't hardly wait to get to this part. This part, I did all that preaching just to get here. Four brought one, verse 3 and verse 4. Number one, they had a faith of compassion. Did you know that those living around us that do not know Christ as their Savior, if they die without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell? These folks had a faith of compassion. They had a faith that was cooperative. One man on each corner. And then I every time I preach this, I ask this, would you be willing to be a corner man? And I was thinking about being a corner man. I'd rather be a corner man as anything else. I don't want to be standing on the sideline saying, boys, you've not taken enough of it off. You need to peel back a little more. Well, you're not holding up your end of the deal. You need to pick up on that on your corner. Look, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be one of the guys on the corner. Now, I got thinking about this, and I thought all the corner people that we had working Wednesday night, did you know that we have had, is it four or five saved in the last, five young people saved in the last 2 or 3 weeks of Awana. Did you know that? Let's just all sit here and celebrate. I kind of sprung out on you. It took a little while for it to register. I saw some corner people working on that deal. Some people picked them up on the van, brought them there. Corner people! They got off and they had a meal to eat. Somebody fixed supper for them. Some corner folks fixed supper for them. Well, you'd say, well, I could have done that. Yeah, you could have. I could have been a quarter man. I could have. I just noticed they won't ever even trust me to dip the food. I've volunteered a time or two. They've always got something. No, we've got it covered. We don't want you dipping the food. Someone, a corner person fixed supper for them. Brent preached the gospel. They heard the gospel. They heard the story. They responded to the gospel. And I had an opportunity, Grant had an opportunity, and Kim had an opportunity to talk to them about receiving Christ as their Savior. And they did. Amen. That's real weak, but amen. Corner people did all that. Their faith was committed. They were committed to overcoming obstacles. How'd they get him on the roof in the first place? Have you thought about that? I don't know how in the world they did that. Can you imagine the size of hole it would have taken to get a man through it on a stretcher? There are those who will never come unless we bring them. Andrew, in John's Gospel, the first chapter, brought Simon Peter to Jesus. And I've seen these little booklets that now are called Operation Andrew. Bring in others. Bring your brother. Bring your cousin. Bring your neighbor. Bring that kid that's playing in the yard that you pass by every day and you haven't stopped yet and said, hey, did you know we got a water program down at church? Would you go if you had a ride? Okay, I'll call somebody. No, I'll come and get you and I'll take you down there and I'll take you back home. That's a corner person. That's a corner person. Asking somebody else to do it. Call me and say, don't you think that you ought to go visit so-and-so? Or have you been? This is where the rubber meets the road, right? They did whatever it took to get him to Jesus. This wasn't a traditional service, was it? They cut a hole in the roof. Their faith was visible. Jesus saw their faith in verse 5. Visible faith is faith that is accompanied by works. James said that faith without works is dead. Visible faith is believing. It is as good as done. In Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter, the centurion said to Jesus, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You just say, and it's done. If Jesus does it, it's done deal. If he says it, it's done. Then finally, Jesus knew their thoughts. Do you know he knows all of our thoughts here today? Every thought that you've had. Every time that you looked at your watch and thought, I wish that guy would get through. I didn't see anybody doing that. I look at it myself. He knew their thoughts. He perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned. He knew their thoughts and he knows ours. Then he finishes up in verse 9 with a doctrinal issue. Only God can forgive sin. And friend, the only way to heaven is through forgiveness of sin. That's the only way that we can be saved is through Jesus' death on the cross. And if some church is preaching that there's any other way, there's not any other way. The way of the cross leads home. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. There is no other way other than through the cross. And I'm telling you, folks, that whatever it takes in order for us to be able to get the word out, to be able to share the gospel with people, that's what we need to be doing. Also, only God can say, take up your bed and walk. I hear of programs, drug programs and alcohol programs that people can go to and get help. But I won't tell you what the Bible says. That only God can say, take up your bed and walk. He's the only way. He's the only way. I'm not saying that some of those other things might be important. They are. But only God can say, take up your bed and walk. I want to ask you, I want to get personal today. Can I do that? Has there been a time in your life that you've invited Jesus into your heart as personal Savior? If the trumpet were to sound today and the church were to be raptured, are you ready to meet Him? You've made that decision to make Christ your Savior? But I tell you, that may be true in our life. We know a lot of people that haven't, don't we? Maybe you could just write that name down right now. I know somebody that hasn't. Maybe I would witness to them. Maybe I'd share with them. Or at least invite them to come to church. Let's stand together. Mike and Monica's going to come and help us. If you're here today, and first of all, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, I want you to make that. I would urge you to make that decision today for yourself. If you're here and God's dealt with your heart about becoming a part of this fellowship, following the Lord in baptism or moving your letter here, I'd urge you to do that. If it's a recommitment in your life to the Lord that you decided today, I'm going to be a corner man. The qualifications are not real hard. I want to be that. I want to give you an opportunity to come right now as we sing. You come. I need you to be my ears, okay?
But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where my soul look up to a steadfast
fucking hearing aid you ever seen in your life. Actually, that worked out pretty good. It's probably not the best, but Riley has come today. She is one of those that all you that helped the corner was a part of. And there's a bunch of folks that I didn't even mention, but all of you that helped Inawana are a part of the decision that Riley came to accept Christ as her Savior. And she's come this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. What is the pleasure of the church concerning Riley? And all the people said, amen. Now, Woods, would you all, not Woods, Wood. Tom and Noletta. Noletta. Noletta's. No, that'll mix everybody up on it. Noletta. Did I say it right? I got close. They have come this morning to unite with the church by statement that they've been saved and scripturally baptized. What's the pleasure of the church concerning the Wood family? All in favor of that, say amen. When somebody comes to join our church, we have encouragers to come and stand with them. And some of you feel like that that's what you'd like to be, an encourager. And so you're going to come and stand with them this morning. We're going to ask you others, when we are dismissed, that you would come around and give them the right hand of Christian fellowship, welcoming them into the fellowship of our church. Thank you so much for being here. Alas, Master, there's more of them than there is of us, and that's good, isn't it? That's good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ron Sims, would you dismiss us, please?